Chapter 23.
"Now I guess we know who the victim is," Nan said, when they were seated at her dining room table 20 minutes later. "It sure wasn't Amelia." Ruth took a bite of her chocolate frosted brownie.
"She looked pretty much alive to me."
"That's right. Rupert must have sent her off on vacation so that she wouldn't be around when he murdered Connie," Nan said.
"But why get rid of her now?" Lexi asked.
"He probably doesn't want anyone poking around in the house that could find any evidence as to what he's done."
Ida picked at her ham and cheese scone.
"But that would mean that he doesn't intend to hire a new cleaning lady."
"Maybe he does, but just not yet."
Ruth looked at them over the rim of her coffee cup.
"Because maybe he's not done doing things that he doesn't want someone to see."
"You mean he's planning to do away with Olive?" Ida asked.
Ruth shrugged. "Well, her car is still missing. I took the liberty of peeking in the garage when you guys were fooling around at the front door and stealing mail. The red Cadillac isn't in there, only Rupert's truck and the sister's white Fiat."
"So the sister is still there?
I wonder why Olive doesn't think it's odd that her sister's hanging around," Lexi asked.
"Maybe her sister hangs around there a lot normally. Her son did say she spent a lot of time with Olive and Rupert. We don't know what the norm is for these people. Plus, we know the sister did go home at some point since she mailed the letter, and we saw the shirt she wore on the trip to Paris in her closet," Nan said. "All we know for sure is that the sister went to Europe with Olive. She doesn't want to reconcile with the son, and she likes dogs. In fact, I think the little black dog we keep seeing at the Pendletons is hers. Kingsley said she had a black one."
"The one we saw on the roof," Lexi said.
"Yeah, imagine she put her own dog on the roof to lure Connie out," Ida tisked. "She can't be that much of an animal lover if she put the dog in jeopardy that way. Not like her sister."
Nan's went to the whiteboard and crossed off Amelia's name from under the victims category.
"So now we know the victim wasn't Amelia."
"Which means it must have been Connie," Ruth said.
"She was the blackmailer, and that's why they killed her."
"Makes sense. She would have been at the house a lot if she was Olive's assistant, so she might have seen some shenanigans," Helen said.
Ida opened her purse.
"And I've got the proof right here."
She produced the envelope she'd taken from the credenza at the Pendletons and fanned them out on the table in front of her. Nan's leaned over Lexi's shoulder to look at them.
"Good work. One of those is Connie's bank statement."
Helen pushed up from her chair.
"And I know just how to open it. I don't condone this type of behavior, but..."
She snatched the envelope and hurried toward the kitchen.
"This is great, but how are we going to get Jack to investigate? We can't use the bank statement as evidence. We stole it from the Pendletons' house," Lexi said.
"We could pretend we got it out of Connie's mailbox," Ida suggested.
"That won't work either, because we shouldn't have taken it from there, much less steamed it open. Both of those acts would make it inadmissible," Lexi said.
"Well, we're just gonna have to find another way," Nan said. "Maybe we should focus on proving that Connie is missing."
"Olive will probably notice that pretty soon," Lexi said. "If she's her assistant, they probably talk quite frequently."
Ruth pursed her lips.
"I'm not so sure about that.
I once dated a writer, and after he'd finish a book, he would take a month-long break. Olive is releasing a new book next week. She may not have any duties for Connie to perform. She might not have occasion to talk to her for several weeks. Nance picked a cupcake off the tray. I wonder if that was all part of Rupert's plan. Why he chose this week to kill her, knowing that Olive wouldn't even notice she was missing. Nance peeled the paper off the cupcake and then sliced it into quarters, popping one whole quarter into her mouth. But Olive went over to get Connie's mail. Won't she be expecting Connie to come and collect it? Probably the best thing is to be able to prove to Jack somehow that Connie isn't where she is supposed to be, Ruth said. What about that club, Lexi? Didn't they say that they kept track of where Olive was?
Yeah. They seemed like stalkers, though we haven't seen them there any time we've been there, so they must not be very dedicated ones, Lexi said.
They can't be there 24 hours a day. If only they were, they might have seen the murder, Nance joked. Hey, maybe one of them saw my drone, Ida said.
Maybe I can find something of interest on the fan page.
Ruth pulled out her iPad and started typing, squinting down at the page, using her fingers to pinch the posts so that they would be larger and easier to read. Ruth's face scrunched up.
Well, this can't be right.
What's that?
Nance craned her neck to look at the iPad. Ruth turned it around so they could all see. It was an article about MurderCon, with a picture of a blonde woman who looked similar to Olive, though the scarf partially obscuring her face and the giant sunglasses made it impossible to tell if it was Olive or Connie.
Isn't MurderCon the conference that's going on right now that Olive said Connie was at?
Lexi asked.
Yes, it is.
Nan scraped some frosting off another section of the cupcake with her fork.
If Olive is here in town and Connie is dead, then who is this?
Beats me. I thought maybe neither one of them was at the conference, but this picture was taken yesterday, and it says the fan club ladies are going to step up their efforts to figure out who it really is.
Ruth squinted down at the iPad.
Seems like it's sort of a mission of theirs to figure out if the sightings are really Olive or Connie. Apparently they know Connie stands in for her. Well then, maybe they'll be able to figure out who it is and come up with some clues for us, Nan said.
Ruth turned the iPad around, showing a full-face picture of a blonde who had a similar hairstyle to Olive's and looked to be the same size.
That's Connie. She doesn't look that much like Olive, Ida said.
The sister looks more like her. Maybe she should have had her stand in, Lexi said.
Maybe she does. Maybe that's who is at MurderCon, Ruth suggested. Susan could be pretending to be Connie to hide the fact from Olive that Connie is dead, Nan said. Maybe she even took the red Cadillac. We should check if Olive let Connie take that when she was filling in as her.
You mean Susan could have been pretending to be Connie, who was pretending to be Olive?
Ida shook her head.
This is getting complicated.
I'll say.
Helen stood in the doorway, the bank statement dangling from her hand.
What is it?
Nance asked. Helen put the statement on the table.
According to this statement, Connie didn't have any big deposits.
What?
Lexi leaned over to read the statement. It looked like a regular bank statement from someone who didn't have a ton of money,
similar to her own. This doesn't look like she's been getting money from Rupert and Susan. I mean, she was getting tens of thousands. Wouldn't she have deposited some of it? Maybe she didn't want a record of it. But where has she been putting it? Ida asked.
Well, maybe she's just been stashing it away under her mattress or something, Nan said. You know, maybe she doesn't want to make it obvious that she's getting a large sum of money. Going to save it for later, or dole it out a little bit at a time.
But Rupert was getting bank checks. Wouldn't she have to cash those within a certain number of days? Lexi asked.
I think so. Probably 90 days, Ruth said. Maybe she was using the cashier's checks to buy something. Jewelry, household items, laundering the money, so to speak. Then she could return the items or sell them on eBay. Are there any eBay statements in your pile of mail, Ida?
I don't think so. Ida thumbed through the pile of mail like a deck of cards, and a single piece of paper fluttered up from the pile, landing upside down on the table.
What's that? Nance asked. I don't know. Doesn't look like mail. Maybe the grocery list?
Ida flipped it over, and the room fell silent as they all stared at it. It was a note on white-lined paper, handwritten with a black felt-tip pen. Keep your mouth shut, or you'll be next.
Does that mean what I think it means?
Helen asked.
Yep. Looks like a threat to me, Ruth said.
But what was it doing in Connie's mail? Lexi asked. Nan shook her head.
No, that wasn't in Connie's mail. That was on the credenza with Olive's notebook.
That note wasn't for Connie. It was for Olive.
Everyone's head swiveled toward Nan's. You mean Rupert wrote Olive a threatening note? Nan spread her hands.
It's the only explanation. Olive lives in the house and is in a position to be able to find evidence of the murder. Maybe she's been asking questions, and Rupert is trying this one thing to keep her quiet.
He's probably just trying to get her to keep her mouth shut long enough for him to execute his plan to kill her, Ruth said.
Well, if that's true, we don't have much time. We need to tell Jack, Ida said.
Tell Jack what? Nance asked.
Connie's bank statement showed no deposits, so we have no evidence to show that she was blackmailing them. We have no body, no murder weapon. Heck, we don't even have a motive. And without any of those, what can Jack possibly do? She's right. We don't have any evidence to give Jack right now. But we do have something.
Ida held her phone out with the GPS app open.
I think I figured out how to get this thing to be even more precise. And if that's the case, I should be able to locate the drone.
And on the drone is all the evidence we need, Ruth said.
In that case, we have but one choice, Nan said. Tonight, under the cover of darkness, we must go to the Pendletons and retrieve the drone.